Welcome, everyone, to the year-end review of ZTGD Podcast. I am Gambus Khan. Thank you for listening. Here we go. Oh, yeah!
You got the touch. You got the power.
Tom brings in the year in review.
Yes, he does, because he's the man.
I still have fudge stripe cookie going on.
Yes.
That's some good shit.
I want to hear about it. That ain't just any fudge stripe cookie either. That's a fucking Walmart brand.
Walmart brand fudge stripe shortbread cookies. But anyway, as Gambus Khan has told you, this is the year in review, and the show's going to be a little bit different this week. You just lost.
You missed.
Walmart brand
fudge stripe cookies.
Fudge stripe.
They make you smile.
You would think they're our sponsor.
Yeah. Who, fudge stripe cookies? Yeah. Hell no, we ain't got no sponsor.
We ain't got no motherfucking sponsor.
Anyway, we're going to start the segments off the same as always with introductions and what you playing. And then we're going to move right into, we have the top 50 games of 2006.
In no particular order.
No particular order, because otherwise there would just be people fighting over Gears of War versus Legend of Zelda versus Oblivion.
No, but you know what I've noticed? People don't fight over shit like that. People fight over what's like 25th and 24th. They're like, like, how are you going to rank that game 25th when this game was so much better and you ranked it 26th?
Well, you know, they're going to bitch anyway.
We gamers are a picky lot.
We are, but there's no particular order to these, so I'm going to start off going towards the Mr. Intro Man himself. Gambus Khan is here with us. So, what you been playing, motherfucker? What have I been playing?
Wow. Well, that was gangsta.
I
have been playing plenty of Portrait of Ruin.
Castlevania, for those not in the know.
Yes.
I'm not in the know.
The new Castlevania for the DS. It is quite splendid. I love it. I mean, granted, it plays exactly like the last several Castlevanias, but, you know, it's all good, you know.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You're supposed to say in the hood after you said that.
Yeah.
In the hood!
You're supposed to say all good in the hood.
All good in the hood.
There you go. Yeah.
So you playing anything else besides Castlevania?
I'm still crawling through FF12.
No.
Yeah, it's going to take me a while before I finish it. I've been working a lot of overtime. Everybody's working for the weekend.
Here we go.
Our first 80 song reference of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like that. You can't get away with one. So, Final Fantasy XII and Castlevania DS.
Yeah, and the occasional Xbox Live arcade game of, like, Geometry Wars and Luminance.
Geometry Wars is kind of like the Wii, though. You just throw it in every now and then for 15-minute spurts, and you're good to go.
Yeah, you're good to go. You're in the zone.
You're good to go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm going to flip around the table over here. And welcoming back, after a month hiatus, is the Mr. Wolverine.
Woo-hoo!
He's back in the room.
Ask him what he was doing on his hiatus.
Shut the fuck up.
What? I was going to say you were hunting the Yeti. I was going to make you sound like a fucking pimp. And you're cussing at me. I was going to tell people that you killed a fucking abominable snowman with your bare hands.
But we all know that's not true.
Yeah, that's true. He's only like 4'3".
That's true.
Shut up. I'm taller than that. Fuck you.
Okay, he killed an abominable snowman when he tripped over it. Unexplainably.
Alright, so what you playing? You had a lot of time to play because you ain't been doing podcasts or reviews. Okay, he did a review of Big Bumpin'.
I did.
He did a review of Big Bumpin'.
Oh, Big Bumpin'. But I'm not allowed to review anything else that's worth anything.
I told you to fucking do Sneak King.
Oh,
Sneak King.
Fucking Sneak King.
Yeah.
He's moving up in the world.
Yeah.
He's
moving on up.
Yay, Sneak.
So what have you been playing in all your free time?
A lot of Rainbow Six.
Rainbow Six Vegas?
Yeah, a lot of that. The game is hard.
Did you beat it, though?
On normal. Realistic is the next.
Dude, I couldn't even get past first level in realistic.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get to this, like, second checkpoint.
You know why that is?
Because I suck.
Because you're not an elite counter-terror operative in real life.
I'm not, even though I can kill every enemy in terrorist time by myself.
The realistic zero-tolerance game would be a guy with red hair and glasses sitting on a couch. That would be realistic.
Damn, I'd be the bomb with that game.
A lot of us would be the bomb at that game.
Yeah. Not you, motherfucker. You don't have red hair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You don't have glasses either.
I do.
You already failed.
I have glasses.
Mm. No bonus points for
just
you.
Not on.
Yeah, I heard that Rainbow Six was rainbowy delicious.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I would say, though, taste the rainbow.
I wouldn't say that either.
I would. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get sued. Fucking Skittles are maniacs, man. You saw that fucking Darkened Sky game that they released. You think a normal fucking
non-crazy company?
You
know, I forgot about that until you mentioned that. I had blocked it out of my head.
What are you talking about, dude? That was on my list for number one GameCube game of all time.
So you play anything else besides Rainbow before we get too out of hand
and
with
Darkened
Sky? That's a great game. I fucking love that game.
Oh, I'm
trying to think.
The game.
I don't see you on Xbox Live playing anything else. No, well, you're not playing with your Wii?
No, not really.
That's good. You already got bad eyes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Zero Tolerance will be here all week. Be sure to tip your waitress.
I would like to. I've been playing a little bit of Gears now that I've pretty much beaten everything I can in that game.
You have not beaten all the multiplayer stuff yet.
Not yet, but people won't play it. So.
Well, people can't get online at 6:30 in the morning to play with you. I'm sorry. You know, some of us do have to get up in the morning.
I gotta get up in the morning.
Yeah, and you do at like 3 a.m. to play Gears. It's not my fault.
I don't do that anymore. I get up because shut the fuck up.
I get up because shut the fuck up.
That's actually that's a good rhyme.
That's a Tone Loc song, I think.
I get up because shut the fuck up.
I tried Assault Heroes. That's good.
Assault Heroes is the bomb.
Yeah.
Small Arms and what's that damn Robo game?
Robo Blitz.
Robo Blitz.
Robo Blitz is the bomb, too.
Yeah.
I think they should have just called it That Damn Robo Game.
The Damn Robo Game? The well, Johnny 5 Simulator.
So that's pretty much it. I like the Rainbow, and then you can use your little camera there to put your face in the game. Although I got a...
You got a bald spot.
No, not a bald spot.
Gray like spot.
A gray spot on the top of his head. Yeah, he looks like a skunk.
So that's why I put a helmet on.
He's the kid in a helmet.
My helmet.
It's hey. Alright. In my vision camera persona, I have a receding hairline.
Yes.
Which is
quite
awesome.
Funny.
That's what I'm going to look like in 10 years. So, you know.
I look pretty much like the pimp.
Wow. The pimp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Whatever.
Okay. Is that, yeah.
That'll do it.
Okay. So, I'll move around here to the man who's about to hit me in the face with a Wiimote.
You're goddamn right.
The Wombat. What have you been playing? Besides, obviously,
Wii
Sports
right
Tennis.
Right now, I'm playing Wii Tennis. But see, I'm multitasking, motherfucker. I've been playing Wii Sports. I've been playing a little bit of Zelda. Playing a lot of SmackDown vs. Raw 2007.
Back
on! Back on! Which I'm digging. Playing some Rainbow Six with Kill Wolverine to my left the other night. Played some Guitar Hero as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm playing that too. Sorry.
I'm basically playing a lot of stuff in little spurts is basically my gaming pattern right now. So the Wii is perfect for me because I can just sit down and...
Play for 10 minutes
and
be happy.
You know, yeah, I can play some Wii Tennis and do a podcast at the same time.
Yeah, there's nothing better in the world.
Maybe something's better in the world.
I doubt it.
Nice miss.
Hey, fuck off.
Wow, that's loving. All right, so I guess that leaves me, lo and behold. Well, just like last time, I'm still playing a ton of shit.
Hey,
you know what? I will play whatever, you know, I don't care. I will try it. Yes, I played Pimp My Ride.
Oh, my God.
I did because, you know, they sent me a review copy, you know.
I don't care if they sent, well, never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess if they sent me a review copy, I would play
it. Yeah, I'm playing it. You know, I've never seen the show, so I don't get it. I didn't know what Ghosting My Ride was until...
viewers, what that is.
Ghosting my ride. Yeah, this is a great thing.
I'm about to ghost my ride as soon as it fucking breaks down again.
you put your car, I guess, in drive, and then you let it just roll, and you break dance next to it.
Nice.
And I will have you know that I scored a perfect, so I am the ghost my ride pimp, and I got an achievement for it. So you can look on my gamer card and see that I have ghosted.
If I ever saw somebody doing that in real life, I'd probably just like hit him in the head with a can of soup.
And then steal the ride.
Yeah.
Well, hell no, I don't want that ride.
Not if it's pimped out. Pimped out?
It's pimped out. But aside from that, I've been playing a lot of review games this week, like the Billy and Mandy game for the Wii.
How is that, by the way?
It's excellent. It's kind of like a Power Stone, kind of like a little four-player fighting game.
So how does the Wiimote play into this?
It's really just kind of like thrown in. Second nature. It's kind of like you use it to move and punch different ways. Ooh, you about broke that.
About broke some shit.
He's punching his table with the Wiimote. But no, it's kind of thrown in, but the game itself is still really good. So if you didn't get a chance to play it on the Cube or the PS2, get on the Wii. So, that one, I like that one. I played Rampage.
And be honest, who got to play it on Cube with the PS2?
Nobody, because nobody bought it.
Exactly.
They were too busy buying 25 to life.
Yes.
50
cent bulletproof.
50 cent bulletproof. But, also playing Rainbow. Went online playing Terrorist Hunt Co-op, which is the bomb, with one of our new guys, too, Mr. Emissary.
Mr. Emissary.
Terrence Johnson.
He doesn't have it anymore, by the way.
Oh, he got rid of it already?
Already.
Because he needed gas money. That was in quotes.
Yeah, he used quotes there. You didn't see that. But he needed gas money, which... Does that mean he wanted drugs?
Yes.
Wow.
You know
that's
what?
A,
I'm going to send
the hell of an accusation.
I'm going to send this podcast to Terrence and be like, did you see this? Did you see this profiling that Wolverine did to you?
Especially to level against a 6'6", 350-pound man.
Yeah, whatever, he got me fired.
He got you fired from what?
That's just something I like to
make
oh,
up.
Oh, okay. But,
he felt bad for losing my job.
I'm also playing through Zelda still, and I finally got to the first dungeon. And I gotta say that, you know, outside of that first 4 hours of tutorial bullshit, that dungeon was the greatest 2 hours I've spent in the game this year. I mean, that dungeon was
four
fucking awesome.
Yeah, I've been playing some of that, too.
The tutorial sucks, and that's why I said it was slow. You know, because the tutorial is boring as shit. And if I played through the game again, the one thing I would want to do is fucking skip that part. Because I don't want to do that again. But these dungeons, I should just be able to, like, go in and play those dungeons because they're the fucking bomb. I mean, once you get the boomerang and you're, like, doing the little puzzles with the boomerang, that first dungeon was just awesome. I can't wait to get to the next one. But I'm playing the hell out of Zelda. What else am I playing?
Blitz.
Yeah, I played the shit out of Blitz, the League, finally, because you did it for the Xbox.
I never got a chance
to play it, and I got it for the 360. It's basically the same game, but, you know, it's still really good.
It was really good last year.
Yeah, it's still really good. I love the campaign mode.
Great, great, great idea as far as the implementation goes.
Not having the license.
Yeah.
I like the campaign mode where you start off with... the new team, mm-hmm. You get to build it from scratch, and you got to build up your...
I was really hoping Midway would do something similar for Slugfest next year in the whole... I mean, with the whole steroid controversy, it writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So...
It would do really well, because Blitz is really well put together. Definitely worth checking out if you didn't play it on the PS2 or Xbox. But
if you did play it on
the PS2. Even if you did, it's essentially still the same game with achievements, you know? But, you know, it's still really good, and it's still worth playing. Which I did write a review of, but I think I gave it like a 7.5 or an 8. I mean, it's really good. Trying to think of anything else I've been playing. I've been playing Assault Heroes from Xbox Live Arcade, which is awesome. And I picked up Novadrome today, which is kind of like a racing, twisted metal kind of game. It's not bad. It's a new arcade game.
Why is it out on today's Wednesday?
Yeah, today's Wednesday. You know, Xbox Live Arcade Wednesdays. Welcome to 2006.
I really want somebody to make for Xbox Live Arcade, and this may be what Novadrome is. I don't know. I haven't played it. I want a new Rock and Roll Racing.
That would be... They might put it on a virtual console, but then it wouldn't be new.
No.
It'd just be the same game.
And I have that one already.
All right, so I think I covered everything. I don't think I've been playing anything else majorly. I've been, you know, squeezing stuff in here and there, but for the most part, I finished Fear. The ending is the bomb. Which we'll talk about later, because it's in one of our awards this year. So we're going to skip the news, unless you guys want to discuss the Halo 3 trailer.
You can mention it.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty... And the behind-the-scenes documentary on...
Marketplace.
On Marketplace is really cool, too, if you haven't had a chance to check that out yet about the Broods.
Yeah, it's got actual in-game footage of the single-player campaign. And all those people that were bitching about the early screenshots can finally just be quiet.
Yeah, it looks
gorgeous.
Looks
And you know it's Halo, so it's going to roll. But
yep. It almost looks like the Brutes have adopted the Borg technology from Star Trek.
What?
I don't know about that.
I can't confirm or deny that.
That was me geeking out. That was a geek out moment right there. So
he's the new Captain Picard. I'm gonna tell you this now.
Spock.
Picard, the USS.
What is he doing? Enterprise.
But we are gonna skip the traditional news segment because there hasn't been a whole lot, and we have a lot of stuff to get to.
So let's get to it.
We're gonna jump right into this.
Mention the forecast channel.
Fucking forecast channel.
So you can tell what the weather's going to be.
Man, that was a really gratuitous use of the F word.
It really was. You know?
There's really no reason for that.
There was not no reason.
You don't need a reason to say fuck.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our CTGD podcast radio quote of the year.
This word fuck is brought to you by Fudge Stripe Cookies. All right. Well, I have a Fudge Stripe cookie in my mouth on that note. We're going to move on to our awards.
Woo! Can I have a cookie?
Fuck no.
Yes, here.
Well, fuck. Eat up one of these great value Fudge Stripe shortbread cookies available at your local Walmart.
Why, thank you. I think I will. I just got it. Got two for the price. God damn it.
That's how much of a value they are.
Whoever owns the company that makes these shortbread cookies, be sure to send your check in my name.
And my name, bitch. It's my house, my fucking shortbread cookies.
All right, so we're going to move on.
At least give me a new bag.
We're going to move on to the awards. And the closing of the show, we will be discussing the top 50 games of 2006 in no particular order. But that'll be at the end of the show. Right now, we're going to start off with a few little categories that some of us came up with. Some of us crazy people. The first category for the year of 2006, everybody's favorite. The most disappointing game of 2006.
Most disappointment.
Now, this doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that the game is unplayable. It just means that when you bought it or you played it, you were expecting something that it just didn't do.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what disappointing means.
You know,
thanks for that, though,
Merriam-Webster.
You know how many
people confuse that with, like, worst game of the year? Because they're stupid. Anyway.
You know, they have dictionaries in schools now.
Yeah, but nobody reads.
Yeah, no way.
I can't read, so.
I know. All right, well, we're gonna break this down. First one on the list, Sonic the Hedgehog for the Xbox 360 and the PS3.
But see, know what? You're only disappointed in that game if you expected it to be any good in the first place.
Well, I did, you know, because, you know, Sega did make a good Sonic. It was on the Dreamcast. Adventure.
In 1999.
You know, 7 years, it should have done something. Yeah. You know,
Sonic games are not like cicadas, okay? They don't come back every 7 to 17 years.
Well, Sega should start that trend. You know, Gambus Khan's all pissed off at Play Magazine, because did you hear what they gave Sonic the Hedgehog?
I did not hear what they gave Sonic the Hedgehog.
Tell him what they gave Sonic the Hedgehog.
Play Magazine.
Which we love, by the way.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong.
I love Play Magazine. It's probably my favorite magazine. But the newest issue disappointed me because the review of Sonic the Hedgehog for the 360 was received, keep in mind this is out of 10, 9.5.
What?
9.5
what?
Out of 10.
Oh yeah. My God. I have lost all faith.
Well, what can you do? Dave Halverson loves his platformers, apparently.
Maybe it's a misprint.
No. He really loves platforming.
Maybe they meant it to be 5.9.
5.9.
Even though they don't do 0.9s, they just do 0.5s.
Hey, they can make up a fucking 0.9.
All right, so move on to the next game on the list. Amazing that a PS3 game managed to make it on this list.
Oh, there's a shocker.
All the nastiness is back already.
See, I wanted the PS3 to be on there in general.
Yeah, he just wanted the system to be on there because he's gay.
What?
Mobile Suit Gundam Crossfire.
Once again, that's only a disappointment if you expected it to be any good in the first place.
I like the Gundam games on a Dreamcast. There we go, back to the Dreamcast.
See, you gotta have to pull your ass out of 1999. No offense.
I would, but the Wii, you know,
it almost looks as good as
the Dreamcast.
To this fucking thing.
You know, visually, the Wii almost looks as good as the Dreamcast, so it kind of takes me back.
Yeah.
That was a stab, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack about that one.
It's the nostalgia system.
But when you moved the Dreamcast controller, did it move your character?
No.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I also wasn't playing, you know, great games like the next one on my list. You like that segue?
I did. That was good.
Yeah. Red Steel.
Yeah, Red Steel.
Or should we call it Brown Steel? This game had so much potential. And all it ended up being was a frustrating, crappy first-person shooter.
We all owe you props, because you called it.
I called it before it came out, but at the same time, I'm the one that bought it and had to suffer through it.
Yeah, so don't owe him props.
No, you still owe me props, because I made you guys not buy it.
No, actually, I played it, and that made me not buy it.
Oh, I know what else I
have long since learned that you and I do not share the exact same opinion on most games.
No, we don't. But I wouldn't steer you on a bad one, though.
No.
Not one that bad.
No, not one that bad.
But my other prediction came true. I'm turning into the fucking Farmer's Almanac over here. But,
get you a straw
the
hat.
The most traded in game for the Wii, Red Steel.
And he called that one? That was good.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, but anybody could.
Yeah, but I did it.
We got a regular Nostradamus here.
Some people believe that Red Steel's a great game.
Well, then they're blind, deaf, and dumb.
Some people sit on short buses and lick windows.
If you ever make fun of my father again, I will punch you. All right. Moving away from the Wii, a Wii and a PS3 game made it. That's horrible.
Man.
And they've only been out a month.
Yeah, well.
The next game from the 360, Bomberman.
Oh, Bomberman.
You know, that game had so much potential to bring the great franchise that is Bomberman onto a next-generation console with Xbox Live. But with the shitty save system, the horrid online mode, and the fact that only 12 people bought it, and only 3 of them had Xbox Live, meant that you couldn't even get online to get a 4-player game going in the first place. Well, not to mention that the game sucked.
Yeah, but what's wrong?
Beautiful.
With it?
Everything. What's wrong? Everything.
That was the joke.
Yeah.
It was a joke.
But what's wrong with it?
Joke.
And the final.
Have to start calling those from now on. Joke.
That's it. Put disclaimer. Joke alert. It's like a spoiler alert. All right, the next game on the list, the final game on the list, and the Final Fantasy fans are going to eat me alive. But Gambus Khan, the Final Fantasy aficionado, picked this game. Dirge of Serbaburbaburbaburbs. Final Fantasy VII.
I think a lot of Final Fantasy fans will agree with that.
Yeah, they're still in denial. They're still in denial that it was a good game. It's like the Wii people not trying to say that Barnyard's a good game because they have nothing else to play.
Well, the Final Fantasy fans have 12 now.
Well, yeah. But they didn't.
And 11 still.
They didn't have it when Reverse came out.
All I have to do is wait a month or two?
Yeah.
But still, they had expectations for it because it was a spinoff of 7. Yeah.
Wasn't a spinoff, was it?
Yeah.
It's
based off
of. I thought
of
it was
the,
like a continuation kind
of. It's like
of
Vincent Valentine. But it's still a spinoff of 7, which they don't ever do in Final Fantasy.
You know what? I'm just going to say, I don't give a fuck.
They were actually building it up to almost be like a Devil May Cry in the Final Fantasy World type of game, but it completely blew.
Yeah. So if you're like me and you're not a big fan of Final Fantasy, and you're not a big fan of Devil May Cry, you probably didn't play it, which is what I did.
Even if you were a fan of those two games and you did play it, you probably bought it. Yeah.
True.
But anyway, moving on to the next category, and this is mostly, this has nothing really to do with 2006, but we wanted to talk about it anyway, was the top 5 most anticipated games of 2007.
Mm.
Now this was hard.
Gonna add another number.
Yeah, this one was
hard
more difficult.
Because we couldn't figure out which games to actually put on the list.
I tried
and there's
make
even
it.
A tie. There's even a tie.
I tried to make it a top 10.
If you do a top 10, then everything else has to be top 10,
yeah,
and then you just
well,
get out
I
of
know.
Context.
I know.
But anyway, the number one game on the list and the one everybody agreed on was obviously Mass Effect.
Yes.
BioWare's track record is pretty much flawless when it comes to RPGs, and everybody decided that Mass Effect is going to be one of the end-all, be-all games for the year.
It just looks amazing.
So, download the new gameplay trailer on Marketplace and you'll understand why. The second choice was pretty obvious as well, of course, Halo 3.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't think you need to talk anymore. It's Halo 3.
That's all you gotta say.
Yeah. Mario Galaxy. Mm-hmm. So the Wii got some love, which it's really, outside of Smash Brothers, is the only game on the Wii that I'm really kind of pumped for next year. I mean, WarioWare I'm excited for, but it's so early.
It's WarioWare.
Yeah, it's WarioWare, you know what to get.
How about Metroid?
Metroid, yeah. You know, I love Prime, and Prime 2 kind of was the same game.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of worried that the Prime 3 is going to be the same game with Waggle.
It's not it's not going to be good, but it's not one of those I'm...
You're dying.
Buy,
yeah, you're not dying to play it right now. When it comes out, you'll probably get it and you'll love it. But right now,
because there's a lot of games on this list. Well, there's only 5, but there's a ton.
Actually, there's 6.
There's a lot of games
of them
on this list.
Well, there's a lot more I really, really want to play. And
yeah, there's a lot of games coming out in 2007. But we'll move on to the next one, which is obviously another easy choice, Metal Gear Solid 4.
yeah.
Which hopefully will be 2007.
And on the 360.
It's not coming to the 360.
Did they kill that rumor?
Yeah. Konami said basically no way. Well, it's not happening.
Can I substitute something in for that then?
No. Because regardless, you know, you show your fanboyism right there. If it's not on the 360, I don't want to play it.
No.
I shelled out $600 for the fucking PS3, which
But still, does that make you not want to play it?
No, I want to play it.
Well, then it's still anticipated.
Ho?
I don't anticipate it.
You
I
put the ho in holidays. I got it in!
What, you said you wanted to get that in?
Yeah, I was talking to him earlier. The joke I wanted to say to somebody at some point. You called him a hoe. I said, you put the hoe in holiday.
Nice.
I got it in there before. Yeah, I'm there.
You probably should have picked something else.
Yeah, shut up. Anyway, we're moving on to the last thing. We're going to move on. The last one was a tie because these two games, we couldn't decide which one we wanted more. It was between BioShock and Crackdown.
Crackdown and BioShock.
Crackdown is just, I mean, I really think it's going to be a sleeper. I think that it's going to be so good when it comes out.
I'm sure it would have been on our top 50 if it came out this year.
If it came out this year, it probably would have been on the top 50 easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's fun. It's got the co-op mode, you know, and it just looks like a new take on the whole open roaming game. And it just looks fun. And then, of course, BioShock, the spiritual successor to System Shock. Which is going to be the bomb.
Yes.
It's going to be the bomb.
No Too Human on the list.
Well,
I noticed.
You forgot about Too Human. Yeah.
I didn't forget about Too Human. I thought about it at first, and I'm like, but it's Silicon Knights. Mm. So at the same time, I really don't believe it'll be out in 2007.
It's a good thought.
You know, Metal Gear Solid 4 almost didn't get on there because I don't think it'll make it out. But if Sony doesn't get Metal Gear Solid 3 out in 2007 with Halo 3 being on the shelf,
it's done.
I think that they're going to hurt.
Yeah.
So I think they'll probably try to get it out in 2007.
I was just shocked that we didn't put Lost Planet on there. Look forward to that.
I'm looking forward to Lost
again,
Planet.
It's like 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, but not even that. Not even that. Would
but
you?
That's all in on a technicality.
Oh, you know, whatever. But seriously, if you put Lost Planet up in the air with these other 5-6 games, would you pick it first before any of these 5 or 6 games if you had a choice to play one? I don't think I'd put it above any of those 5. I mean, I really want to play it. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know that I would.
Maybe if it was a top 10.
Maybe Mario Galaxy, just because I haven't seen enough of it yet to know.
To get excited about
like,
it,
yeah.
But it's Mario, you know?
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
You know, we'll see. But yeah, definitely Lost Planet's going to be awesome when it comes out, but you know, what are you going to do till then? Those were just, like I said, that was the hardest category to pick. So, and we're going to move on to one more before we take a break. We're going to move on to the biggest surprises of 2006. Games that kind of sat there and you were like, eh, you know, came out of nowhere, and then you were like, oh, that's the bomb.
The bomb.
The one that we picked last was the outfit, because you know when it came out, it was like, what the hell is this?
See,
you don't like the outfit.
No, it was the opposite for me because I was really looking forward to the outfit, and then it came out, and I was like, what the fuck is this? In a bad way.
Because you didn't like the.
I didn't like it at all. I just didn't. I thought it was, to me, honestly, it felt like something that they could have done on the Xbox Live Arcade. Just made it one map. Dumb down the graphics a little bit. It didn't feel like a $60 game to me.
It may not have been a $60 game, but I still can tell you to this day that I've probably played it more than most of my other 360 games that I said were worth $60. It was just fun to me, and I really enjoyed it. There's another game on here you're going to hate, too.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Actually, there's probably more on here you're going to hate. The next one up, though, everybody should like. We did Dead Rising. Oh, except for you. You didn't like the game.
I like Dead Rising. I was incredibly frustrated with the lack of a checkpoint system.
No, there's a lot of things in that game that make it, you know, frustrating. But before you even heard about it, you know, it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh my god, why has nobody ever done this
before?
When
you heard about it, it's like, oh, it's another zombie game.
Yeah.
Oh, it's from Capcom. Oh.
Yeah.
But then when you play it, you're like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, it had a lot of fun factor. If they can fix a few things in the sequel, it will be, you know, a staple franchise game. The next one on the list is a favorite of a few of us here, but Okami.
Yes.
I was waiting on you to chime in because, you know, I didn't play it and you guys didn't seem to care for it, but I really think that Clover Studios-wise, I think it really deserved to be because nobody expected it to be anything.
Yeah, thing is, when I played Okami, I was expecting it to be different, perhaps good, but I wasn't really expecting it to be super great, like
it was apparently.
Yeah. It was incredible. It's Zelda for the PS2.
I've heard a lot of people talk about how great it is. Only with a wolf.
With a big, well, there's a wolf in
there's a wolf in Twilight Princess, too, so we can't say that anymore. But, yeah, that one's on the list. The next one on the list, I think a lot of people really didn't expect it to be any good, but at the same time they were hoping it would be, which was Bully.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people looked at it and they were like, this is going to be Grand Theft Auto High School, mm-hmm. and it's going to be stupid. And, you know, from what I've heard about it, I haven't played it personally, so I can't speak for the game, but I've heard that it has so much to it and so many little things that make it good. That it's one of the best experiences you can play this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a lot. You know, it says a lot for a game from the guys who, you know, live off of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
It's totally different. This control scheme, everything. It's awesome. One of the better PS2 games out there.
Yeah, there was very few this year.
Yeah.
All right. And the last one, this is going to be a 50-50 split, but Viva Piñata.
I forgot that was even on there.
Yeah, see how much hatred comes out for the Viva Piñata.
Oh,
but seriously, just like these two guys that are sitting on to my left over here, when I first heard Rare was making a game.
Which, by the way, is the straight side.
Oh, I like how he throws that in there. I like how he throws that in there.
Oh, quite clever.
Yeah.
I might say so.
This is coming from the fanboy that don't want to play Metal Gear now. Cause
I
want to
play
360.
I fucking want to play Metal Gear. Buy me a PS3 then.
I'm not buying
money
you
bags.
Shit. But when I first heard Rare was doing you know, a game about piñatas based off of a kid's TV show, I almost threw up. Because, you know, I'm sitting there saying to myself, why am I not getting Killer Instinct? Or, you know, something else that they've done in the past. Why am I not getting that? And, you know, when I finally got the game, because I bought it mostly because it's Rare, I give them a shot, and, you know, the woman wanted to play it. And once I played it, it was just incredible. I loved every minute of it. I think it's one of the biggest surprises of the year as far as once you play it, how much you love it. You know? That's just me.
I guess, if you like games about gardening and piñatas.
Yeah, you know, I do. I
can't crack on the game because I haven't played it. It doesn't look like anything that would interest me, so I didn't play it. I'm not going to sit here and crack on it when I haven't played it, but...
See, you personally, you would not like it because you don't like the management games.
No, I don't.
So, and that's what this is.
Which is why I avoided playing it.
And that's exactly what this is. It's... I don't know. Do I want to say this? It's a piñata shagging simulator.
Yes.
Where basically...
You know, you just made it sound like 100 times more interesting.
Basically, the idea in the game is to breed as many piñatas as you can and to breed different kinds of piñatas.
So basically, it's a piñata pimp and hoe simulator.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm in it's addictive. Like, I'll get little areas in my garden where I fence them in, and I will put specific piñatas in there and grow what they want to eat just so they'll mate. And then I'll bring in a new piñata and put it in there with them so it can mate. I'm
a
piñata pimp. I can't help it. It's one of my top 10 games of the year.
Piñata Pimpin' 80.
I love you, Rare. Bring me Killer Instinct still, because I will punch you in the face.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't say that.
They're going to come over here and hit me.
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea.
But anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a few more categories, and then, of course, the top 50 games of 2006. So, Mr. Khan, if you would please take me out for the first...
Stay the fuck tuned.
Begok!
We're going to move straight into the next awards, which this was another hard one because I think there's a lot of stuff that deserved to be on here, but it didn't make it, which is the best online game. We picked five. Actually, I had seven in my head, and I had to cut a couple out.
Well, see, why didn't you make it a best of seven?
Because this is top five.
Hey.
Only the five best make, except for that one where one tied.
Why you gotta squeeze everybody into the same egg carton?
Because.
Why can't you space it out?
Because
why can't you have a top 8 and a top 4 and a top 17?
Because 7, 8, 9.
Don't ever do that again.
I'm telling Viva Pinata jokes for the audience. Oh, Viva Pinata.
Jesus, if those kind of jokes.
No,
are Viva
those
Pinata,
kind of jokes are not in there. Actually, the best joke in Viva Pinata is when during the loading screen it says, "Attack this pinata under its belly for massive damage." Like a blatant stab at the Sony press conference, which is great. But anyway, the top five online games: Rainbow Six Vegas, obviously.
Nice.
With the co-op, the terrorist hunt, I mean, we'll be playing that for a good year.
Oh, yeah.
At least a year. I mean, and that says something. Ghost Recon, obviously, because even to this day, we'll still jump on periodically and play that. You know, everybody still has it. Everybody loves it. It's still a great game.
Yep.
Gears of War, mostly for the co-op, because the co-op really makes you want to play through the single player more than once. The multiplayer is good, but it will be better when Epic gives us the fucking friend matchmaking, where we can play like we do in Halo. Resistance, which I'm the only one that had any experience with that, but until you play a 40-player online game in these massive maps, I mean, it's just incredible. If only the PS3 had standard headsets, so you could hear people during team games.
Yeah, that might be
a little good. And then the last one, originally we picked Call of Duty, because of the new like team-based class system, which I still think it deserves to be one of the best online games, but I forgot about Test Drive. And not necessarily just because it's a racing game online, but just to the fact like you can drive down the road in the game and you're playing single player and people drive past you and you hear them talking.
Yeah.
It's just a giant world.
Yeah.
And you know, and anything that does that,
it's very immersive.
It really is, and it's really cool because when they drive past you, you hear them talking and then you can like run over to them and race them. I mean, that's just huge. And another one I wanted to mention was obviously Chromehounds.
Yes.
But we didn't get it into the top list, but it definitely deserves a mention
Chrome
for
Hounds.
Online games.
I am the only one who really put a lot of time into Chromehounds.
Yeah,
let me tell you, that game deserved a lot more credit than it got.
Oh, yeah.
If you like mech shooters, if you can get past how slow it is at times, which it is, I'm not going to lie, it's not like Mech Assault, where you're flying around. It's very...
Simulation.
I don't know how to put it. Slow paced, but
it is slow paced, but it's methodical.
Yeah, methodical. Thank you. Thank you for expanding my vocabulary.
That's why I'm the dictionary.
But no, it was. I thought it was a great game, and it's a shame that more people didn't latch onto it.
And the online function was incredible with
yes.
the whole warring system
yes,
between the
was.
Factions and everything. I mean, it was incredible, and I thought it deserved a mention. So that's why I said there was initially 7,
yes.
and we had to strip 2 of them off. So. All right, moving on to the next one. We're sticking with the multiplayer aspect, but we're moving to offline. So, no wires attached, you know? Just you and your buddy sitting in the living room, having a good time. And obviously, Guitar Hero 2 tops the list.
Oh, yes.
Especially with the new co-op mode and the versus modes. That's some good times right there.
Good times.
You can play bass, too.
You can play bass, too.
The second one... Second one on the list is, how about that? You're playing it right now. Wii Sports.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Wii Sports.
I'm still waiting on the real-life simulator where you can hit each other with the nunchuck and the controller and boxing.
Yes.
Like in real life. So what's going to happen one of these days?
Fuck, I can hit you with the controller and the nunchuck right now if I wanted to.
You could, but remember they're $60.
Ouch.
Yeah. So don't hit me with that.
No.
And the next one, even though it has online, I still think that it's played better offline, Marvel. When you have 4 people in a room, you're playing that. It's 4-player. I think that's a really good one, the co-op. The next one on the list, once again, the Wii gets a lot of love on this because basically it doesn't have online. But Rayman Raving Rabbits.
Nice.
That's a great multiplayer game when you have multiple people in the room.
It's a good single-player experience, too.
Yeah, it is a good single-player experience. But once you get everybody in those crazy multiplayer games, it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong. And the last one on the list is an homage to old school 2D love with Metal Slug Anthology.
Nice.
Yes.
Is there anything better than sitting down with somebody else playing through all 7 games in one sitting?
Maybe.
I don't think there is. I think that's the best. That's the best ever.
Oh, yeah.
Want a Fudge Stripe cookie?
No. I have eaten too many of them already.
Because they're healthy and delicious.
Yes, they're They're low in fat.
And nutritious.
Yes.
All right.
You should feed them to your dog.
No. No, don't feed them to your dog. No. Chocolate is bad for your dog. And besides, you're going to want to eat them all yourself.
That's not good, dog. They are.
Yeah.
Screw your dog. Well, don't screw your dog. That's all
right. We're gonna fade over that. But anyway, the next category is personally one of my favorites. The five biggest holy shit moments of the year in video games.
This was fun.
Actually, we called it holy crap, but, you know.
Holy crap.
This is the biggest holy shit moments in video games this year. The first one, the embassy explosion in Grawl.
Yes.
In single player, where they're like, everything's clear, and you're walking up to the building, and boom, bitches! Whole thing just blows up in your face. Tell me you didn't jump when that happened.
That was pretty fucking awesome.
That was awesome. Just watching it, there's like the... Because Grawl at the time was probably the best looking 360 game out on the market. When you saw
it's
that
it's still
explosion,
pretty far up there.
Yeah, it still looks pretty damn good. Alright, next one on the list was Prey. The intro of Prey. Where you get abducted by the alien, and then you get to fly around all the crazy like tubes and shit. I mean, just that whole sequence with, you know, Don't Fear the Reaper playing in the background while you're being sucked up by the giant green light.
Yeah.
And just visually, it was very impressive. Even though it was running off the archaic Doom 3 engine, it was still damn pretty.
It was.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Next one on the list is Fear, which if anybody's played that game, there's probably... The whole game is a holy shit moment. But specifically for anybody who has beaten it, the ending is probably the biggest holy shit moment I've had all year. I mean, just, it was awesome. I'm not going to spoil. There's not going to be a spoiler alert here. Because, you know, Killer Wolverine's still playing
yes,
it.
Yes.
And he hasn't seen the ending. No. But when I was sitting there and, like, the last level of the game is actually, it says you play it. It's chapter 11. And, you know, you're sitting there and you're playing and you can move the camera around and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And then it happens and then it goes to black. And I was like, oh, fucking snap!
So the last chapter is just...
It's just you sitting there looking.
Really?
When something happens and you're like... And not to mention what happens before that, at the end of chapter 10, what happens, just that whole level, the whole last hour of that game is just holy shit. Hmm. From beginning to end. Because it'll just fuck with your brain. It ties up the entire story, and you're like, holy shit! So, big holy shit moment. Personal favorite of mine. I love that game. The next one is Gears of War. And only because... The first time you chainsaw somebody in the face, you had to sit there and go, holy shit! Just watching them saw in half the blood go all over the screen.
That's never going to get old.
That is no. It still hasn't got old. Nope. Just chainsawing people in the face.
Yep. Another one that you can kind of tie into that is...
Cliffy B.
When you put
Cliffy B answered my prayers of punching people in the face with a chainsaw.
Yes, yes. That, and you can stick grenades in the enemy's mouth. That still is...
And the curb stomping.
Yeah, the curb stomping.
Yes, that is a lot of holy shit moments. And the last one on the list, and Wombat will be the only other person who knows this one, but the first time you walk into Hyrule Field, Twilight Princess, and you realize how fucking big it is. And you can literally look all the way across the map and see stuff happening. Like, there's no draw. It's there. And if you shot an arrow at it, you would hit it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how fucking big it is. Like, a quarter mile away, you could shoot something and you will hit it. I mean, that's why... That is in the holy shit moments. All right, we have one last category before we take another break before our top 50. This one was kind of fun, too, and it was really hard to pick. But these are the top five, I don't want to say boring, I want to more say, like, sleep-inducing games. These five games will put you to sleep.
I could use some of these games.
You're really gonna be pissed off about one of them.
Oh, I'm gonna kill you if it's.
The first one on the list is NFL Head Coach.
Oh God!
And if you ever play this game, if you suffer from sleep deprivation, just pop this in your Xbox or your PS2, and you'll be good to go. You'll be dead. You'll be taking a coma. You'll be taking a 100-hour nap.
I could go for one of those right now.
All right, the next one on the list, and I have nothing personal against this game. It's a child's game, so obviously I knew it was going to be like this, but Happy Feet.
Fucking, what are you putting Happy Feet?
But have you played
this? How are you going to play Happy Feet?
Dude, seriously, this is how boring it is. Like, I can understand it for kids, because it's basic general DDR-style stuff. You know, you move, you move, you move, you move. But that's all you do. There's a game like DDR. Move, right, down, right, down, up, left. Then the next level is racing through the water like this, moving the Wiimote back and forth, motion. That's all you do.
You know they can't see you.
No, I'm telling you out loud. You wave the Wiimote back and forth like you're swimming. It's yeah. It'll put you to sleep.
Sounds like it. But then again, that's what you get.
I can't help it. All right, the next one on the list, wow, PS3 game made this. Genji, Dawn of the Samurai.
God, watching that just...
It makes you fall asleep while you're watching it. You're like, is there any other moves? Is there any other types of enemies?
Didn't I fall asleep watching you play that?
I think you did fall
asleep.
Whoa,
wait a minute. There's some too much information there.
That is not even homoerotic at all.
About you falling asleep watching Zero.
Play a video game? You're trying to take a homoerotic joke to a whole new level.
Did Zero wait till you were asleep and just watch you sleep for hours?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Well, I wrote little poems about him.
I bet. All
right. Moving on, the next one.
Moving on.
The unfortunate 10 people that had to play through this, X-Men.
Oh.
For the 360, PS2, Xbox. But yeah, all the levels were pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And they were very derivative. And the last one on the list, and Wombat's playing boxing, so I'm about to get hit with a $60 controller.
He's about to punch a girl.
But Dynasty Warriors.
I can't help it who the Wii stacks me up against. If the Wii thinks she's good enough to stand in the ring with me, then I'm not going to be sexist. She'll probably whip my ass.
The last one on the list, and Wombat's going to be angry, is Dynasty Warriors.
Oh.
Because if you can press X one more time before you fall asleep...
Hey.
Forward and X. Forward and X, 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 X. What's this combo? X, X, X. What's that combo? X, 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 X.
Hey, you know what Dynasty Warriors is going in, so if you don't expect it to be that way...
Yeah, but when you couple the X combos with that music... for 13 hours? My motherfucking ass.
What the fuck are you doing playing Dynasty Warriors for 13 straight hours?
I fell asleep with the console.
So you're dreaming about ancient Chinese warfare?
You know, but I still won the game because my finger's stuck on X.
Gotcha.
I still won. But that is our categories. And we're going to take one last break before we come back and tally down the top 50 games.
Tally down.
Countdown, what the fuck ever. Ho down.
Down.
We're gonna bring down
the top
50 games of 2006. So, Mr. Khan, one last time, if you will take me out. Don't you know you are my angel? On my knees I fall for you. Can I say this is love? Why don't we just get my dream that we dance on forever together because of your warm and soft man. Give me some real advice. Can I say this is love? Why don't we just get love in the dirt? Dead forever, forever together. This is love. And we're back for the last and final segment of the evening.
Of the year.
Of the year.
Of the year.
This is it.
Yes.
This is it. Y'all ready to hear this?
This is exciting and sad at the same time.
Sad?
No, not really.
This, you get to spend the Christmas vacation playing all these great 50 games
we're
about to name.
Wait, I'm not on vacation.
You don't work on Christmas? Oh,
wait,
yeah, you do. Because you're stupid and you have one of those stupid jobs.
Yeah, oh. Stupid job.
Stupid job.
Stupid job.
All right.
Shut up.
It's party time in his house.
Let's get this shit started.
We are now going to name... the top 50 games of 2006. Bitches.
Brought to you by Johnson's Flavored Chewing Powder.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the cookies again.
The cookies. Brought to you by cookies, bitch.
Brought to you by Great Value Fudge Ranch Shortbread Cookies.
Mm-mm, good. Cookie
Monster. Eating one a day will keep the Nazis away. Doctor approved.
She said kid tested, mother approved.
They didn't have kicks back then.
Alright, so here we go, and these are in no particular order. Here we go. Top 50 games of 2006, starting with Battlefield 2 Modern Woo-hoo! Combat for the Xbox 360.
That was a good game.
Very yes,
good.
It was.
Very pretty, very hard.
Blast to play online.
24 players of pure madness.
What was that on your top five online games?
Well, and you know, but like I said, by comparison, that's hard to bring all those games into one area.
It's true.
It's hard.
And this is our first one. Next year we'll do it better.
Yeah.
God. No, we won't.
Weeks of research.
All right, and then moving up, Brain Age for the DS.
Woohoo!
Wait, the DS did one thing, it tested your brain.
Big Brain Academy was better.
Well, you know, you can put them into the same category because they were the same game.
Well, yeah,
no,
they were just call different. It Big Brain Age Academy.
Big Brain Age Academy.
The
aging
thinking game.
They were two different games, but they were the same genre. Concept. So, yeah. So, let's just call
it's kind of like Trauma Center and Trauma games. Center for the DS.
There you go, the brain game.
Just call them, well, no, those two are exactly the fucking same.
Well, yeah. It's a DS game. And another DS game, I'm saying like crazy tonight. Elite Beat Agents for the Nintendo DS.
I wanted to play this.
Guitar Hero with Touchy. Touchy.
What?
Touchy the screen.
Touchy?
And you can play to Madonna.
I thought he was like some mascot or something.
He might be. For Michael Jackson's Neverland Valley Ranch soccer team.
Oh.
There it went. All right.
The last Michael Jackson joke of 2006.
We're only on 48. We're still going down. Anyway, Lord of the Rings, Battle for Middle-Earth 2. The first successful RTS on a console that worked.
Yep.
And I didn't play it.
Because you hate RTS.
Yes.
But
you know,
still.
I hated him too, but I kind of enjoyed it. The little time I spent.
Don't lie. Don't.
I'm not lying.
Don't lie.
I owned him online with my spiders.
Don't lie.
With my giant trolls that I killed you with throwing rocks at you.
It was fun to see that happen, too.
Yes, it was. It's glorious. Next one on the list is a Wombat favorite with Chrome Hounds.
Indeed. We've already covered my love for Chrome Hounds this episode.
Great game. Definitely deserves to be in the top 50.
Chrome Hounds.
The next on the list is Captain Jack Sparrow and Mickey Mouse in Sweet Loving in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Woohoo!
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one.
Would you stop beating on the table next to the microphone, please?
Shit.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Oh, all right. Jack Sparrow and lovely Mickey Mouse. Kingdom Hearts 2. Good times.
It's
good times.
Jack Sparrow, Mickey Mouse join forces to fight Sephiroth.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Nerddom in its finest.
Exactly.
Next one on the list is a classic favorite in Mega Man. Powered up.
Powered up.
For the PSP.
My name is Mega Man.
When you bring the childlike look of Mega Man into the original game and add two new characters, I get wood.
And playing through as the boss.
That's maybe a little too much information, you getting wood at childlike Mega Man.
Yeah, you know. And you can, there's another Michael Jackson joke there just waiting to happen. But anyway, you can make your own levels, play through as the bosses, and even play through as Roll. Fabulous game.
Excellent.
Rock and Roll!
But be serious, who's going to play through the game as Roll?
That's true, but the option is there.
I tell you, the elitists will.
The elitists because, will? I don't know, I consider myself kind of a Mega Man elitist.
Yeah, and I
ain't
going to
play through the game as Roll.
No.
Because think about it, Roll is probably... She probably doesn't control as good as Mega Man.
That's kind of the point of not playing as her.
And, well, the thing is, whoever beats the game as Roll could be like... Hey, I'm really good.
And then everybody else can say, you beat the game as fucking Roll.
Why did you buy the game?
Why did you buy the game to play it as Roll? All
right. Moving up the list, Xenosaga 3. And the first game was phenomenal. Second game was very disappointing. And the third game brought back the goodness of the first one, tied up the story. Great experience. Great game.
I only wish that they could have, you know... done what they were originally planning to do and make 6.
Well, the developers of the original game left, so I think they just wanted to tie it up.
Yeah.
Just end it, but they did it on a good note. Good game.
And I mean, come on, 6?
Yeah, there's 13 Final Fantasies now, so they have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. The outfit. Once again, it's a split decision on that one.
Boo.
But I do think it does deserve to be on the top 50 games
of the year, bitches.
Thank you for that
song.
I want
to sing my little boo song over here, and everybody can ignore me.
We already talked about the outfit, so we'll move up to Just Cause, which is basically Grand Theft Auto. I need a Spanish city name. If that's what it would be.
San Andreas was a Spanish city name. But
you can't call it Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. That doesn't work.
San Andreas, Madrid.
Madrid, that sounds, no. Just Cause is a great game.
Yes.
It's the Grand Theft Auto with Bionic Commando.
Hey, Bionicle.
Bionicle.
Legos. The Legos go.
It's Grand Theft Auto with Antonio Banderas.
I think Lego's on this list too, aren't they?
Yes, it is.
We'll get to that.
Hey.
No, we'll get there.
Don't interrupt me, motherfucker.
Next one on the list is the DS Wiimake of Trauma Center.
Don't ever do that again.
What? That's what they call it.
I don't care.
It's the Wiimake.
It was in our review. That I didn't write. But, because I didn't play the game, but...
If you play the DS version, you played it.
But that doesn't make it a bad game.
No, not at all.
It's still one of the better games on the Wii. Moving up the list, we have a couple of Xbox Live Arcade titles. And funny enough, they're the more recently released ones. Mm-hmm. First one is Assault Heroes, which is like Ikari Warriors in a car, which is the bomb. Great game. Classic old school shooter, and very, very hard. Mm. Next one up on the list is Small Arms, which is basically, what do you call it? Smash Brothers with guns.
Yes.
Crazy guns.
Well, since you've already made a couple bad jokes this podcast, I'm going to go ahead and say, or the life story of a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
There you go.
See? There's my terrible pun joke for the evening.
And there is a Tyrannosaurus Rex in the game with a freeze gun.
No.
Yes.
And that's guess what?
You know, if you play online four players in Small Arms, you've not lived. And that's what Smash Brothers better be, online. Don't need guns, but make it online.
Look at him dancing.
Oh. All right, next one on the list was submitted by Mr. Khan. He claims to really like this game. The Dragon Quest Heroes Rocket Slime for the Nintendo DS.
I heard it was very solid.
I've heard it's very good in reviews, too, but once again, I haven't played it, so I don't know.
It's like, it's very Zelda-like, but you play the part of a slime, and your body is basically the attack. You know, when you stretch, you get to stretch and, you know, like hit enemies, and that's how you attack. But then it gets into the point where you collect all these items, and then you have tank battles where you can actually shoot your items out of the tank and use it as an arsenal.
So basically, it's like my everyday commute to work.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Moving up the list, another handheld, a couple more handhelds coming up here. Lumines 2, which, until you play it, you don't understand, like, how addictive that stupid game is. It's fucking Techno Tetris. And it drives me crazy because I can sit there all day long and tell you how much I hate it, but I still, when I start playing it, I can't stop. I start dancing. Making squares. Yeah. Lumines 2 for the PSP. The next on the list is Tekken Dark Resurrection for the PSP, which was basically Tekken 5 with a couple, I think one added character, and finally a good solid fighting game on the handheld. So, Tekken fans rejoice, PSP fans rejoice that you got at least one good game this year.
Woohoo!
But,
no.
Actually, there's a couple games for the PSP on here, so it didn't have a horrible year, but it didn't have a great year. And continuing with the handheld trend, Tetris DS, which, if you played it, you understand why it's so great. The classic Nintendo games meshed into the Tetris world.
Online. Yeah.
Online with Wi-Fi connect. Mm-hmm. If you got 16-digit memorization to remember your friend codes.
What the fuck's up that with that Nintendo? God damn it.
He's still angry that his Wii code, his friend code, is longer than his social.
Well, who would remember the...
Whatever. Nintendo couldn't go with a gamer tag because then they'd be copying off of Microsoft. And
like
have
Sony
to be
did?
Number one in innovation.
We're not talking about Sony.
But you know what? There are some things where you should, I mean,
you should
it's
copy.
Just so common sense that you should copy.
Yeah,
your gamer tag.
The sincerest form of like, flatter.
Flufferknuffle.
No knock on Nintendo. I love the innovation, but, I mean, there's some things where you just have to say, okay, you know what?
They did it.
As much as we love to be, you know, innovative and brand new, there are some things where you just need to say, you know what? They did it better. Let's do it like they did it this time.
Yeah.
And the gamer tag Wii number thing is just like that.
But we digress from the actual...
Yes, we've kind of got off topic.
All
so
right.
Go back.
Moving on up. To the next one is another DS game in the form of New Super Mario Bros.
That's all you really have to say about it.
I mean, you really don't. It's classic 2D Mario action on the DS handheld, and it was phenomenal. Great game. One of the reasons I brought my DS out of hiding this year. Good game.
Yeah. I think I'm boxing guy from Prey on here.
I think you are too. Is that Tommy?
Looks like him.
All right. The next one on the list is Killer Wolverine favorite in Burnout Revenge for the Xbox 360, Which, honestly, with the lack of racing games this year, it's hard to find a better racer out there this year. So, I mean, it's a good game, don't get me wrong, but it's still the same game we played last year in high definition.
Well, it's...
But there's nothing wrong with that, because the game we played last year, not in high definition, was good.
No.
So, definitely deserved to be on there. Great game.
Yes.
The next one up on the list is Rayman Raving Rabbids
from
the Wii.
Very fun game, and actually one of the few games that successfully implements humor very well.
Yeah.
The Rabbids are...
It's just funny when
they,
you play.
They overshadow Rayman in every
You
way.
Forget he's even in the game.
You do. It becomes all about the Rabbids.
But it is also, I think, the defining game for the Wiimote as far as what's out right now.
Yeah, as far as up till now.
Yeah, because it does some different motions.
Maybe Elebits, just because it's...
Well, Elebits is a little different because it's like it's kind of like a first-person game where you go around and like find hidden stuff.
Right.
But with Rayman, you use almost every... I mean, not as much as WarioWare will, but I think it uses the most motion.
Like the cow lasso dealing.
The cow lasso and all that crazy stuff.
And the running.
Oh, the running. You're trying to take the bomb up to somebody. It's awesome.
It's a good game.
And then sticking in the Wii. Wii Sports Free Pack-In made it into the top 50 games.
Absolutely.
Of the year.
And it deserves it, too.
Yes, it does, because bowling is worth it.
And there's no game that came out this year that is more fun to play in a 15-minute spurt than this game.
No, it's really not. And Wii Bowling, I must say, I am finally addicted. And it's ridiculous how much fun it is.
Yes.
You just put it in, have a good time.
I still think the boxing is my favorite.
I'm a favorite of the bowling.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. The bowling is really good.
Yeah, bowling's awesome.
All right, moving up. Splinter Cell Double Agent for the 360, Xbox, and PS2. Sam Fisher, would it be a year without him being on the top list of the year?
No.
Great game. Maybe not as good as Chaos Theory as far as a game goes, but graphically it was gorgeous. And I liked the revamped multiplayer. I really did. A lot of people didn't like it because it was faster paced and more like arcadey, whereas the last couple ones have been more, you know, kind of slow paced. But I love the multiplayer and I played the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Good game. Test Drive Unlimited. You can't say anything about what that game did.
No.
For the price it came out at $40, a massively online stream world. You know, the graphics were good. They weren't Project Gotham great, but still,
they were
what
very
it
solid.
Was,
they were very solid for how ambitious the game was.
Yeah, and the persistent online world is just phenomenal. I mean, it's going to be a while before another game does that. The next one up, Fight Night Round 3 for the 360, and as we all know, was just recently released for the PS3.
The game, alongside a couple others that basically sold Xbox 360s in the first of the year.
Oh, yeah, when that demo came out.
All it took was a couple people, you know, seeing that game in motion, and also that game, like you mentioned with the demo, was the game that proved that the Xbox Live Marketplace was going to be incredibly viable.
Oh,
and
yeah,
was
because
be
that's
a great idea.
That demo sold copies of the
Absolutely.
Game. I mean, just the graphics alone sold systems, and that demo
I know,
sold copies.
I honestly know people who played the demo for Fight Night Round 3 and bought an Xbox simply, even when the game wasn't out yet, they bought it for that game so they could play the demo and eventually the full game.
Yeah, it says something about how good that game looked.
Absolutely.
That just would sell consoles.
And it played just as good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If you like boxing games, you will like it.
Even
I mean,
if you don't, give it a try, because it's actually pretty fun to play.
See, I found it frustrating and boring, but I don't like boxing games, so that's why. But still, system seller nonetheless. Good game. The next one up on the list is a personal favorite of mine, is Prey.
Was a great game.
I think.
Very good story. One of those games where once you play it for an hour, you want to play it all night.
And I love the full upside-down crap with the gravity.
Yeah, you know, it seemed really gimmicky at first, like when they first announced it. The way they fit it into all the levels was
And
fantastic.
The portals were one of the coolest things
I've
ever
absolutely.
Seen.
Yes, absolutely. At least even just from a graphical standpoint, the portals were beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Great game. And the multiplayer was meh, but the single player made up for it, and that says a lot for a first-person shooter.
Absolutely.
The next one on the list, Elder Scrolls IV, Oblivion. Oh. How can this game not be on the top 50 games
That's
of the year?
My number one game of the year.
I mean, it's in everybody's top five, I think, at least.
Speaking from someone who had well over 100 hours in the original Morrowind, I was expecting a ton out of this game. I was expecting this game to come off my shelf and cook me breakfast. And it doesn't do that, but it does everything else. And I can't say enough about how impressed I was that they were able to exceed my expectations.
This is the first time you walk out and you see how far you can go and how much you can do in that game. It really just delivers on what next generation games are supposed to
Absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely.
Beautiful, great game. The next one up, this should be all you, Gambus, but Okami.
Yes, Okami.
I mean, you know, on the back of the box, you know, you have a quote on there, obviously, now. Because Capcom's going to put it on there. No, I'm kidding.
You got his hopes up there for a second.
He did.
Cry.
He was getting all excited. He's like, oh, my God, I'm going to be on the game. What made Okami make this list to you?
Well, first of all, oh, God.
I think you got a little wood
watch,
there.
Hey, watch out for my table there, man.
First of all, the world in that game...
It gave me a headache.
Gave you a headache.
Sorry.
Yeah, whatever.
You're interrupting his thought process here.
Thing is, it just felt more alive than most games I've ever played. It almost felt like you can hear the wind in the trees. The music, the score was incredible. The way they implemented the brush strokes in the game as like a finishing move for attacking enemies. You can do attacks like repel attacks. Very, very Zelda-esque, but at the same time, it stands on its own. And I almost have to say it's right up there with Zelda for this year. I love it. It's incredible.
It's kind of like the Twilight Princess Wolf Sessions.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that on one of the most boring in the top five?
No.
The opening? I thought we put that
on. Oh, man. No. The opening.
No, it wasn't on the top five boring. It was on the crack.
The first half hour of the game, I will admit, is slow.
Zelda has 4 hours of slowness. And it's
yeah,
not
but see,
deter
here's
the
difference. Here's the difference. In the first 4 hours of Zelda, you actually get to play the game.
Sometimes.
In Okami, there's a 20-minute intro.
Well,
20
yeah.
minutes.
I've heard about the 20-minute intro.
And you know what? I mean, I make a lot of jokes about games putting me to sleep or whatever. That is the first game that I literally fell asleep.
Yeah.
I literally fell asleep because the intro was so long and so boring. I'm sure the game was fantastic, but I couldn't get past the intro.
I couldn't either.
Maybe that makes me
shallow, but I honestly, no, it put me to sleep.
Well, I haven't played it personally, but for everybody that actually gets past that and gets into the game, they cannot say enough great things about it. And I think the art direction of the game is really cool. I think it looks good. So, I don't know. I'll have to try it someday when it's, you know, what is that, greatest hit?
Greatest hit.
Because I'm lazy. Like, I'm going to buy Shadow of the Colossus someday.
Yep. Because
it's the greatest hit now.
Same here.
All right, moving up, Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence. And until I checked the release dates, I thought this was last year. But it's not. It was actually released in, I think, early February. And the real reason that this makes the list, mostly, is because of the extra disc with the multiplayer, which, if anybody had a chance to play, it was really fun. And not to mention that the entire version of Metal Gear Solid 3 that's on there has a full-functioning 3D camera, which makes the game so much easier to play. And, you know, and it's Metal Gear Solid 3, which to me is still the best PS2 Metal Gear game by far. I thought it was just a phenomenal game.
Even better than Metal Gear 2?
Yes. I think it's better than Metal Gear Solid 2.
Sweet.
So, I mean...
See, I need to try Subsistence version because, as Zero knows, I when Metal Gear Solid 3 first came out...
You never could play
I tried three different copies. All three of them would not let me save. So, every other game works on my memory card perfect. I tried three different copies of Metal Gear Solid 3, and none of them let me save on my memory card.
Well, you should definitely check out Subsistence then, because you missed one hell of a good game.
Yeah.
And moving up, the PSP gets another game, Siphon Filter Dark Mirror, which fans of the Siphon Filter series, like myself, have really been struggling to enjoy a Siphon Filter game for the past, you know, 5-6 years. Because ever since 2, there hasn't been a great Siphon Filter. And when Sony did this one on the PSP, the first thing I thought was, oh, God, this is going to suck because of the control scheme without having two analog sticks.
Absolutely.
But they did it perfectly. The multiplayer is great. The graphics are phenomenal. And it really was the first PSP game this year that came out that I said, I'm glad I still have my system. It is a great game. Moving on up. The next game on the list is a controller-breaking favorite of Killer Wolverine, Lego Star Wars 2.
Yes. Once again, I mean, following the same pattern as the first one where you take a game that from the if you're on the outside looking in, it looks like the most kiddie basic game that you'd ever play in your life. You tell somebody, well, you really can't die, and they're gonna be like,
well,
what?
This is stupid. Yeah.
Right, but seriously, you start playing it, it's addictive, it's a blast, the control's great.
It would have been. It would have garnered a very much higher score for me though if it had online.
Absolutely.
The exclusion of online killed it. But still, just playing with your friends at the house is incredible. Great game. The next one up, Hitman Blood Money. I know that's a personal favorite of yours.
I'm a huge fan of the Hitman series. Blood Money was everything I wanted it to be and more. I can't say enough about how great that game was.
I just love the visuals in it on the 360 were
fantastic.
Were awesome. I mean, they were just so much better than the regular versions, regardless of what you read online. I just thought it looked so much better on the 360. And I just love the aspect of it. It wasn't like Contracts. Contracts felt more like a casual Hitman.
To me, Contracts felt more like an expansion pack to Hitman 2.
Yeah, but it felt easier to me, which Hitman 2 was so damn hard.
Yes, it was.
And then Hitman Contracts was so damn easy.
Blood Money got it right back to
Hitman. Yeah, Blood Money got it. It was like perfect balance. Yep. I mean, great game. The next one up, another Metal Gear game. And it seems like whenever they're out, they make the list regardless.
Yeah.
But the Portable Ops for the PSP... once again, another reason to buy that system. Probably one of my top 10 favorite games of the year. Kojima nailed it, how you make a handheld game, where he does these missions where it's like, they last literally like 5 minutes. They tell you to go do a mission, you go do the mission, it literally take you 5 minutes to do it, which is perfect for portable gaming. But there's still a huge chunk of stuff to do there, and you can go to different Wi-Fi hotspots and actually create characters for your multiplayer, just using the Wi-Fi hotspot number. So
that's about time PSP got an actual Metal Gear game.
Oh yeah, instead of the acid card battling games.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Alright. Man, there's a lot of handhelds on here. I didn't realize how many handheld games were on here. But the next one on the list is Castlevania Portrait of Ruin for the Nintendo DS.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we know you love that game.
Yes.
So have you beat it yet?
No, I've actually been doing a lot of level crunching. The bosses in that game are they're awesome, very cool. You know, a lot of them take up the screen, a lot of them have a lot of animations, look awesome. But man, some of those bosses are tough, like old school tough. And I'm just,
which is the best kind of tough.
Yeah, that is.
That's the ones where you, when you finally beat them, you go, yeah.
You just drop the controller.
Yeah, you just walk around the room like this. Yeah,
hands up in the air.
It's kind
it's
of
like
weird,
the first
though.
Time you beat Wily in Mega Man.
Oh, yeah. I used to see I did cartwheels.
It's kind of weird, though, because, like, every other area felt real easy. But then every other area beyond that just felt really tough.
Well, I liked in this one how they had the different, like, areas. Like, it wasn't all just a castle.
Yeah.
With going through the portraits and stuff and how you go, like, the haunted houses and the crazy levels and stuff.
Yeah, you could go to, like, the desert in Egypt. It's really cool. I'm enjoying it. It's got you know all the things that you love about Castlevania, like the trance techno goth soundtrack and with the organ music, and it's incredible. I mean, it seems like the portable Castlevanias get a little bit better.
Pretty soon they'll be Symphony of the Night good.
Yeah, I actually thought the last one before this one was about Symphony of the Night good, and it seems like this one's like...
Till you go back and play Symphony of the Night and realize just how fucking good it was.
Exactly.
You can still pop that game in today and go, God damn, this is good.
Yeah.
So, but that definitely deserves to be on the list. Next up, seems like another yearly tradition, Call of Duty 3 for the Xbox 360, the PS3, and the Wii, which it doesn't matter if you're playing it on the Wii or the 360. The Wii has enough to keep its legs going. Then, of course, 360 and the PS3 have the online, and the game is just gorgeous. And it's amazing to me how we can still, after 5 years of saying I'm never playing another World War II game,
keep playing
World War II games because they're just as damn good as Call of Duty is.
Well, it's the last one.
It's the last World War II Call of Duty. So we'll see what the boys at Activision have to bring us next time around.
It'd be pretty interesting to play
Vietnam-era Call of Duty. No. Civil War Call of Duty.
There was a Civil War game.
No. We're not going to talk about that Civil War
game. I was thinking more
It wasn't
modern.
That bad, actually. More be modern. Honest with you.
Iraq.
I think they'll go the route of Battlefield. either modern or future combat.
I think they'll go modern. I think they'll go current.
Because could you imagine the Call of Duty engine using modern combat? That would be the shit.
I'd love to see a good Civil War first-person shooter.
If they do it right, it can be done. Like I said, I think that the developers that did, I think the developers of Civil War did a good job with it. They just needed to fix a lot.
But once again, what makes you say it would be boring?
You got one shot, then you got to take a fight.
Not every gun in the Civil War had one shot. There are six shooters in the Civil War.
With a pistol,
right?
Yeah. Well, but they also modified the rifles.
I'm sorry,
with the six shooter.
Yeah. I just don't.
Because they have all, like, that's the best thing about the Civil War game that's out now is the weapons. They're very authentic. I mean, there's like 20 rifles.
Right.
So, I mean, I didn't think it was bad. Yeah. If they can fix it, maybe give it to the guys that do Call of Duty.
There you go.
You never know what's going to happen. It'd be some crazy shit.
There you go. I just don't want to see, you know what, though? Desert fighting has become the new World War II. It's like every first-person shooter has modern combat now, you know, and it's like, yeah, I want to play something else. I don't want to play another sci-fi shooter. I don't want to play another World War II shooter. I don't want to play another let's run around in the desert shooter. I want to play something else. Give me a good Vietnam game, not like the friggin'
conflict Vietnam
shitty crop that came out a couple of years ago.
Oh man, there were some bad ones. But we'll see. Hopefully they'll announce it sometime this year, and we'll actually get to see a new game. But those developers definitely deserve to keep something going because they're damn good.
How about this for a first-person shooter? A zero-gravity shooter that takes place on a space station where you're floating the whole time. And you can turn it upside down, right side up, whatever.
It would be a lot of vomiting.
It'd be,
Prey.
Well, yeah, but there's actually some gravity in
Prey. Yeah, there is gravity in
it'd
Prey.
It'd be kind of like, what was that game?
Psychic Force?
No.
I'm the only person that remembers Psychic Force.
So. I remember Psychic Force.
But see something like that, if it's a first person shooter and you're just floating through the air, it's gonna feel more like you're flying a spaceship than it is that you're actually a person floating through the air.
Yeah. Well, whatever they do, I'm sure it'll be awesome. But moving on, the next game on the list is once again a split, Dead Rising. Honestly, I really don't know what else to say about Dead Rising. I mean, we talked a lot about Dead Rising. And for Capcom to make a lighthearted, I mean, if you can call Dead Rising lighthearted, it's not very serious. It's kind of comical in a lot of aspects. But still, you know, slicing zombies' heads off with lawnmower blades is not exactly lighthearted.
It's not exactly lighthearted.
But, you know, it's more of a comic, more of a comedic take on the zombie game. And when you played the demo, you loved it. And the game itself is good, and it has a lot of problems, but it's still really damn fun. So,
not as fun as Great Value Fudge Stripe Shortbread Cookies. I just know we hadn't said that in a while. I felt like
you gotta plug it.
Needed to be addressed.
That's on our contract. We have to plug it every 10 minutes or so.
Right.
All right. We are now down to the last 15.
Woo!
There are 15 games left to talk about. These are the last 15 of the top 50 of 2006, and we started off with everybody's favorite, Viva Pinata. And I got silenced.
He uses everybody very loosely.
Yes, that was a joke. But I still think that the game is just, it's really good. At least it's something new. Yeah, great game, loved it. Next one up on the list, dude, you shake your head over there, fanboy. Next game is for you, Fear. Fear, to me, is one of the most engrossing single-player first-person shooters I have ever played. I mean, it is just from beginning to end, the firefights because of the AI and the characters and stuff. I mean, it's just incredible.
The AI was, I've never seen adaptive AI like that.
No, they'll take cover, they'll call for backup, they'll run around the corner, they'll throw grenades if you stay hiding behind the corner. I mean, it's just, every single firefight in that game was with, like, the same enemy. Because, like, there was, like, three character models enemies in that game. But you didn't care. Because every time you came into one, it was like facing a human opponent.
Yeah.
That's how good they were. And the creepy shit in that game, and the ending, it was playing it for.
And I can't believe it didn't sell as well as it should have.
Well, you gotta know, it was released during a time when it was overshadowed by a ton of stuff, and PC players have already played it, so it's still the same game. The next one on the list is the revitalization of the Tony Hawk franchise with Project 8. Personally, to me,
this...
Did I miss one? Well, it's not in order, so I'll go back down to it. But Tony Hawk's Project 8, I mean, Neversoft, how many times have you heard, how many Tony Hawks can we play till we get tired of them? Right now, I'm at 8. I'm not tired of them yet. During the Thug and Thaw, Tony Hawk, American Wasteland, I got a little bored of it because it was kind of, you know, getting to the point. But with Project 8, it's the first time that you will see the visuals. They're incredible. The online is incredible. The game itself, just old school Tony Hawk, good stuff.
I need to pick it up.
And the next one we have is Guitar Hero 2.
Woot!
You knew this would make the list, because if it didn't, I would get lynched or something.
Yes, you would. But
honestly, it is a very addictive game. Even if you're not into guitar playing or music, it's just...
Or even if you're not really into rhythm action games. Really, I mean, I have never been a fan, really, of rhythm action games.
I haven't either.
Only music games I ever liked were the Karaoke Revolution series and Guitar Hero.
Yeah, and I think the karaoke one is appealing because it makes you feel like a star. Right. Makes you feel like you're singing the song and it's fun. And Guitar Hero is the same way. Like, when you hit that chord and you hear the song playing on the screen, like your favorite song, you're like, yeah, I'm really playing it, you know? And it's just addictive. And what they added to 2 really upped the ante. And I can't wait to see what they do with the 360 version and downloadable
looking
content.
Looking forward to online play.
We'll see how that goes. It could be laggy. It could have problems. But I'm more interested in seeing what they do with the downloadable content. I really want to know what they're going to do with that.
I'm sure they'll do something like they did for karaoke.
Yeah, but I hope they do more. Because Marketplace is much bigger now than Xbox Live was when karaoke came out.
Well, I'm sure they will.
The next one up is Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter for the Xbox 360.
Fantastic game. It's been out for, what,
9 months?
Yeah, nine months now. And still play it.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Great game. Visually gorgeous. The multiplayer is addictive. And Ubisoft is continuing to add new content to it, which keeps it fresh. And it's, you know, with the second one coming out in, like, less than 4 months, can't wait to play it, too. And once again, Ubisoft, again, Rainbow Six Vegas.
Another great game.
Seriously, it's just these games that keep getting sequels and people bitch about sequels all the time. But when they're this damn good, how can you complain?
But you know what? That's the thing. You really, in all honesty, you don't hear a lot of people bitching about the Tom Clancy games.
But anybody that's not a 360 avid fan, they'll say that it's just another shooter.
Right.
If it's just another shooter, why are 4 and 5 million people still playing it?
Yeah.
It can't suck that bad.
No. It has its, you know, downs. Like, the AI is completely retarded. Sometimes.
But it's not even built for that. I mean, no. It's built for multiplayer.
Multiplayer.
And that's where Grawl and both Vegas succeed.
I was trying to get this on the holy shit moments, but the ending in that was, in my opinion, holy shit.
In which?
Rainbow Six Vegas.
Okay, I haven't beat it yet, so let's not talk about it.
No, I'm just saying, it's a holy shit. I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to say what it is. I thought it was a holy shit moment.
All right, moving on. The one game we mentioned earlier is a big surprise, which is Bully for the PlayStation 2. I mean, Rockstar finally took a direction outside of table tennis.
Which was another
game. I like table tennis. I don't think it deserved to be on this list, but
no,
it was a fun game.
Yeah.
It should have been a $20 game, but it is a fun game. But Bully really is the definitive experience for the PS3 this year. PS2 this year as far as a giant game.
And the Xbox now.
No, it was canceled.
Was it canceled?
It was canceled for the Xbox. Yeah. So it's only on PS2. So if you have a PS2, you owe it to yourself to at least try it. Because regardless of what you think of Rockstar and their games, this is one that's really worth playing.
Yep.
Speaking of Rockstar and their games, a clone of one of their most popular games, Saints Row, is definitely deserving of being on this
list.
So
good.
The developers of Volition took everything that made Grand Theft Auto good
and
made it better. And they took everything that made Grand Theft Auto suck
and made it
and
better.
Made it better. So Saints Row is just, I can't wait for the sequel, that's all I can say. Because they'll add in all the stuff like helicopters and motorcycles and all that stuff. So, looking forward to that. Great game.
Proof that a game can be a clone and still be completely freaking kick-ass.
Oh, yeah. Saints Row, I still want to play that. I still own it, and I will still go back and play it some more. I love that game. Next up on the list, and like I said, these aren't in any order, so don't throw a fit, Nintendo fans. Zelda the Twilight Princess. It obviously deserves to be on this list.
It's number 7 on our list, by the way.
It's not number 7. It's just the 7th game listed. There is no order to these games. But Zelda the Twilight Princess, me personally, it's either my first or second favorite game of the year. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
See, listen to Mr. Fanboy over there.
I'm not a fanboy.
I'm a big fan of Zelda Twilight Princess. I think it's a fantastic game.
I think it's the best Zelda since Link to the Past. I mean, I will go.
I'm not far enough into it to say that yet, because Link to the Past is still one of my favorite games of all time.
I never said it was better than Link to the Past, granted. But I think it's the best one since, because me personally, I thought Ocarina had a lot of shortcomings. I thought it was the first time they did 3D.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Ocarina, but at the same time, you're absolutely right. It was their first attempt at 3D, and to me, Twilight Princess takes all the things that made Ocarina great, and because they've had, you know, Ocarina, Majora's Mask, and now this,
and
to
Wind
spend
Waker.
Time,
Don't forget
yeah,
Wind, Waker.
Well, yeah, and Wind Waker. To spend time in the 3D world, it really shows through in this. It's very polished.
It's just, to me, it's the best 3D Zelda, and it's the best Zelda since, like I said, The Link to the Past. And it, for the first time in my life, I'm not getting sick of playing a 3D Zelda. Like, Wind Waker, I gave up after the sailing started at the end, where you had to sail everywhere to do everything, and that was just really just boring to me. Ocarina of Time, there was a lot of parts in that where I didn't want to play anymore. And personally, Majora's Mask I thought sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like that Miyamoto took all the crap that didn't make it into Ocarina, scraped it up, threw it in a game. And it just, I just did not like Majora's Mask.
I mean, I can't say that it sucked, just because, like you said, he took everything that was in Ocarina and scraped it into, you know, scraped it into a new title. You know, it built on Ocarina, so I can't say that it sucked. I can say that it was slightly disappointing as far as originality goes.
It was like the 64's Adventures of Link.
I don't know about that.
To me it was, because I don't like the time aspect of the game, where you had to beat it in a certain amount of time. I didn't like that. And I didn't like the mask aspect. There's just a lot of things I didn't like about Majora. But anyway, Twilight Princess is definitely worth buying a Wii for, but if you don't have a Wii, you can't find one. The Cube version will suffice until you can get a Wii, because once you play it with the Wii, It's a whole new experience.
Absolutely.
You will not go back to playing it with a regular controller. That's how awesome it is innovated into that.
And actually, it's going to make it, I mean, I know you, I would love, just due to the horseback combat in this game, I would love, and I'm the only person in this room that's going to agree with this, so I don't care. I'd love to see a Dynasty Warriors on Wii, which I know there's one coming. Because,
well, sure, there's
least,
one coming. They're just porting the PS2
at least
version.
At least it wouldn't be just XXXXX. You'd have to be swinging the sword with the Wii stick.
Oh my and gosh, many times as you got to press X in that game, your arm will fall off.
I love the horseback combat where the stick controls the horse, the Wiimote controls the
sword. Yeah, but that's
sword.
A game built by Nintendo. This is going to be a game built by Koei.
Yeah,
it's going to be ported,
see,
and all.
You're just a, you know what you are? You're a hater.
I am a hater because Dynasty Warriors has disappointed me in the last 13 iterations of it. Since they changed it from being a fighting game.
It's basically the same game.
It is the same game.
I still like it.
I know you do. That's why I give you shit about it. But moving on, we've talked a lot about Zelda because we love it. But Marvel Ultimate Alliance is the next one on the list. And if you own a console, you can buy this game.
Absolutely.
Because it's on everything. I think it's on the Neo Geo at some point, so. But, yeah. It's
3DO.
It's definitely
oh,
the
no,
best.
Oh, no, it ain't on 3DO.
It might be.
Fuck all
it?
That.
It's on Sega CD, too.
They're going to put it on the Jaguar, but it didn't
actually, they put it
out.
On the Lynx.
Oh, fucking Lynx.
I went there.
The Lynx.
But,
they put
honestly,
it on the Sega Nomad.
It's true, third time is a charm, that they finally got everything right this time that X-Men Legends got wrong, and, except for the multiplayer online. Which still pisses me off.
Yeah, they still
can't
figure
out.
Stick you in one fucking screen.
One fucking screen, and you can't leave that screen, which is retarded. But other than that, everything else worked to perfection. Great game, definitely worth buying. Next one up, Mortal Kombat Armageddon.
If you were a fan of either of the two 3D Mortal Kombats, I'm not counting.
Mortal Kombat.
I'm not counting 4.
I like 4.
Well, no, but it's completely different.
Well,
I mean, Armageddon is built off Deadly Alliance and Deception.
Oh, yeah.
And if you were a fan of either of those two games, if you're a fan of Mortal Kombat in general, you can't pass this game up because
it's just a giant fanboy orgasm.
Absolutely, and it's everything that was great in those two games, coupled with every character in Mortal Kombat ever.
The only thing I didn't like was the creative fatality, because I still would have liked to have seen original
fatalities. Yeah, I got to agree with
That's
you
That's the only
but,
thing I didn't like, and the creative character having to buy all your items for
right.
it, and only having one per profile.
But I did like the Conquest mode a lot better, actually.
Oh, yeah, because they took a key from Shaolin Monks.
Absolutely.
That's
it's
why.
Like it's basically a dumbed-down version of Shaolin Monks that you get for free with Armageddon.
Yeah, so you can't go wrong with
no.
that. And just a quick plug that didn't make any lists, the PSP version of Mortal Kombat Unchained is Deception, squeezed down with 6 extra characters. So
6 extra?
6 extra. Shao Kahn, Goro, Jax, Frost, Blaze, and somebody else, I can't remember. That's pretty damn good for just off the top of my head. But it actually plays well with the nub. So if you got a PSP, and I know there's only 10 of you out there, you should check out Mortal Kombat Unchained. Great game. But that's just come a Mortal Kombat whore.
Yeah, me too.
All right, moving on
Speaking of Mortal Kombat Armageddon, though, it is now compatible with
360, yes, so you can play it in glorious 720p, which is beautiful if you have a high-definition TV.
If you don't get one.
And up on the list next, the only exclusive PS3 game to make the list. Wow! But this game, there's a little bit of gas going on in here.
It's damn cookies.
Those damn cookies make you fart.
Don't blame it on the cookies.
But the only exclusive PS3 game to make the list, and to be honest with you, it deserves to be on this list, is Resistance Fall of Man. The game is phenomenal. It really, I mean, Insomniac is a great developer, and they proved it here, with a great first-person shooter, with a great story, with a great single-player game, and a huge multiplayer aspect. Just, it's the reason to own a PS3, and if you own a PS3, it's the only reason to own a PS3 right now.
It's one of the quickest first-person shooters in a long time.
Oh, yeah, it's very reminiscent of, like, Quake and Unreal. I mean, it's really fast-paced, you know, and until Virtua Fighter comes out, I would say it's the only thing I'm going to play on my PS3 right
Speaking
now.
Speaking of Time Splitters, I'm looking forward to a new Time Splitters.
But will they make one?
Who knows, but I'd love to see them make one, because Time Splitters is a very underappreciated first-person shooter series.
You know what's more underappreciated is the other game that team made.
Which one?
Second Sight.
Second Sight was a very
That game was awesome, and nobody played it. But I digress. We're going to move on to the top. I'm not going to say top, because we're not doing it in order.
It's not in order.
So don't get freaked out, but here are the last three games on the top 50 games of 2006.
And some would argue that these... Well, no, never mind. None would argue that these three are the top. Some
we've
would argue that number one is the top, but...
We've already mentioned, I mean, if you were to pick the top three, it would probably be between Zelda, Oblivion, and Gears of War.
Yeah.
Those would be the top three, but we're not picking because, you know, we just love all 50 of these games, and we think you should own all 50
And we don't want
games.
People to argue with
Yes. But here comes the next one, Final Fantasy XII.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, you need to talk about this because I haven't played it.
I haven't played it either.
Final Fantasy XII. Okay, there are many reasons why Final Fantasy XII is... extremely incredible game experience. For one thing, it ditches the turn-based combat, and it turns it into a quasi real-time combat, similar to a Knights of the Old Republic, actually. The environments are extremely humongous and ominous. And
ominous.
He's just digging.
He's busting out the vocabulary.
He's been saving it up. He's been saving it up for Final Fantasy.
Yeah, and the graphics are really good. In certain areas of the game, it looks like it could be close to next gen.
Unless you're playing it on the PS3 and it downgrades the resolution to look like shit.
Yeah, exactly. But the game in certain areas looks like it wants to be next gen, but was held back by being a PS2 game, essentially. And let me think. Well, what else? Yeah, the Gambit system, where you basically program your AI for all your characters, is incredibly deep. You can spend like minutes and minutes, like just deciding on how to do your strategies of your characters. It's very deep.
Not to be confused with the Gambit system, which involves smelling manuals.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Let me think, what else? The storyline of the game is actually one of the best storylines I've ever encountered in a game, period. It's a very mature storyline. I would almost say it almost mirrors the Iraqi war that's going on right now.
Because God knows enough stuff doesn't do that.
Exactly. It's sort of like a combination of the modern day, what's going on in the news, intermixed with a Lord of the Rings twist. of good versus evil. So the storyline is really good. And also, I must say that the original score of the game is probably one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard, ever. And, I mean, it blew me away. The game just blows me away in several aspects. So that's why I think it deserves to be among the others in the top 50.
Well, I take it you really like that game.
Yeah, that's a very, very compelling argument, Andy.
It is. Makes you appreciate
it. I'm still not going
to
play it.
Well, yeah, very. I'm not a fan. All right, two games left to go, and the first one we have is the reinvention of another franchise that we all loved at one point or another.
At one point.
Was Tomb Raider. The Tomb Raider Legend game was stripped away from core design and given to the very capable hands of Crystal Dynamics.
Crystal Dynamics.
Who should be working on every game ever made, ever. I mean, they seriously... Of course, this is coming from a self-professed Legacy of Kain fan.
Well, they should be put in charge of every adventure game ever. Because Tomb Raider Legend takes so much from what made the original Tomb Raider great, everything that made Legacy of Kain good, and puts it together for a phenomenal comeback for Lara.
And I am not shy to say that I am one of the people who said the Tomb Raider franchise will never rebound.
Yeah.
After the last couple games, I said, you know what? Eidos is going to keep cashing in on these... crappy Tomb Raider games, and they're never going to get back to what they were. And
I
can safely say that Crystal D proved me wrong.
Yeah, and it was really a smart move by Eidos because the franchise was just going to shit, and now it's been revitalized, and we're getting more games, and we can actually get excited about a new Tomb Raider.
Absolutely.
So it definitely deserves to be on the top games. And our final game on the list... I'm sure you know what it is because we haven't mentioned it yet, is Gears of War. You know, it is this year's Halo for the Xbox console. It is the game that's going to sell the system. It is the game that's going to prove that you need to buy a 360, you know, for the people that want that kind of game. So, Microsoft's got a lot of clout behind it, and with the single player being as good as it was, the co-op, the multiplayer, the game, oh, and did I say visuals? Because they make me... excited.
Wow.
That game is pretty.
You
know what the nice thing about the 360, and I'm just thinking of this, the nice thing about the 360 this year was, and actually since launch, was, there is, for that system, basically a killer app for every category of game. There's, if you like adventure games, there's Tomb Raider, which is on other systems as well, but Oblivion, which was... phenomenal.
Yeah.
If you like RPGs, once again, Oblivion.
And you have Mass Effect coming.
Yeah, if you like Japanese RPGs, you're probably a little disappointed. But,
until Blue Dragon hits.
Right.
Which you will love Blue Dragon if you like those kind of games.
If you like shooters, you got Gears, you got everything.
If you like shooters, you already own a 360.
If you like sports games, you're going to find the games with the best graphics on 360.
Yep.
Granted, gameplay might be a little lacking in some of them, but not
they're
going to
be lacking in the regular versions too.
Right.
So.
If you like racing games,
you got Gotham,
Burnout,
you got
Test Drive.
You got Forza coming.
The nice thing was they didn't concentrate. There were a lot of first-person shooters this year.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They didn't concentrate on making the console a one-trick pony.
No.
There were a lot of really solid games in a lot of different categories.
If you look at all the killer apps for the Xbox 360, though, they almost all span genres, too.
It's true.
Gears of War is a shooter. Oblivion's an RPG. You know, Fight Night was a sports game. Grawl was a tactical shooter. So you had a killer app in so many of these categories, and most of their killer apps were in different categories.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of shooters, but there's only a couple killer app shooters.
Right, absolutely.
So, I mean, the console is very well-rounded, and honestly, if I had to pick a best console in 2006, it would by far go to the 360.
Right.
Well,
it's
kind of unfair.
Though, the other ones have been
on the other one's only been out a month, but I would even put it ahead of the PS2, but that's just me personally.
Yeah.
So, and I definitely put it above the Xbox and the Cube because they were pretty much dead all year.
Yeah.
So.
Especially the Xbox.
Especially the Cube.
The Cube's been dead for a couple years. So.
Well, I think the final nail in the coffin for the Xbox is the Halo 2 exclusive maps.
Oh, yeah, the exclusive maps that are only on 360. I think that's going to piss off a lot of Halo 2 players. But at the same time, you know what? They can piss and moan all they want. They're going to go out and buy a 360 to play those maps.
Yeah, and most of the hardcore Halo 2 players have already bought a 360.
Oh, yeah, because they're playing on the 360 right. online still. So, right. Yeah, I see them on my friends list all the time. Like, damn, they're still playing Halo 2. Makes me want to break out my collector's edition 10 case and play some Halo 2.
No doubt.
But hey, I did the other day.
You play some Halo?
Yeah, I actually did, yeah.
Well, you get Xbox Live, you can play with us. You can stop playing with yourself.
Oh.
And a wee joke writes itself.
And that's going to close out this year for us. And that is our top 50 games of the year. If you agree with them, cool. If you don't, send us an email and bitch about it. Send us your top 10.
Or go to zgamedomain.com/forums.
Actually, we are opening a new forum. I'm going to announce this slash forum. And we are going to migrate everybody over to the new forum. We also have blogs now. You can go to zgamedomain.com/blogs and read about us bitching and moaning about everything else. So we have a lot of community aspect coming up in the next year. When the new year comes in, we're going to have tons of new stuff, tons of reviews. Plus, all of this is going to be up in text, along with every editor's top 10 games of the year and why they picked them. So you got a lot to look forward to. But until then, enjoy the holidays, have a good Christmas, have a good New Year, drink lots of alcohol.
Be safe.
Play lots of video games.
Get drunk and play games. That's
right.
That's how you ring in 2007.
But don't get drunk and play the Wii, because you'll break everything in your house.
Don't drink and drive, and don't Wii and drive, okay?
And don't
Wii and drink. Yes. Don't drink and Wii.
There you go.
Unless you gotta go. But anyway, we're going to close it out.
And buy Great Value Fudge Shortbread Stripe Cookies.
And we get one last plug in there. Now, Gambus, would you take me out for 2006 and give me a big, giant 2007 bagok? Bagok!
Hands on the Bible. Scared like a child, and God holds you liable for what you've done. Homicidal, stare down your idols, a pretty baby never born. You can't believe it. You didn't mean it, but they saw you do it, and they know your name. Rats in the attic, toys in the cellar. She's an addict, and he wants to learn. Hands on the back.
So hands up!